League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Game Time Decisions continues. Get on the grid. SB Nation Radio, the loudest station in the nation. I am Gable Morenci. You can tune in to Game Time Decisions with me, Morenci, and the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, and all of our cool guests that we bring into the rotation. Although, I'm not going to lie, it is a little cooler, and we have a bunch of games to lay it down on. But we were betting on like 26 games a night before, so we're learning discipline right now, the hard way.
Oh, it's the hard way. It's a hard lesson of discipline. I miss your boy, Lindsay the Legend, and all the friends that you made as the mayor of the Meadowlands who used to come on the show. That's the thing. We were really rocking. Like, right before COVID-19 hit, our horse picks were money. We were knocking them out of the park that night.
Yeah, it's amazing. The last night ever that we were at the Meadowlands, we were crushing it. We went 4-0 with the horse picks. The last four tickets. I still have a winning ticket, actually. That I've never cashed, and I still have a Raptor ticket to win a division that is still up in the air right now. But I don't know, what am I going to do? The window is closed. You know what I mean? I guess I can call them and ask them what the deal with the ticket is. But a lot of uncertainty in this world right now. There's a lot of uncertainty around the National Football League draft. We've done the best job that we possibly could, breaking down these draft props on a daily basis. We'll get back to it, but let's just take care of a couple of loose ends. We still have more draft talk coming up. Me and Cam will share our best bets. We'll be on before the draft as well, right here on SB Nation Radio with our best bets. But Gil Manzano will join me from the Orange County Register. We'll talk about the Chargers situation. George Kurtz will step up and in Sports Grid's very own. George Kurtz, big Islander, Yankee, and Dallas Cowboy fan. So we'll get Kurtz's take on what's going on right now with the Dallas Cowboys heading into this to this draft where they have the 17th pick in the draft. All right, so speaking of the Yankees, former Yankee player, Alex Rodriguez is linked to a purchase with J-Lo of the New York Metropolitans. And I didn't realize this, but only the Mets. Like, the Mets find a way all the time. Like, even, like, the Mets managed to hire and fire a manager without even playing a game. Like, the Mets have had three managers in, like, the last, like, year type of thing. All right, so... Yeah, there's always something with this team, even when things are going well. Look, Noah Syndergaard gets hurt.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's frustrating because they got some great young talent on that team.
Noah Syndergaard got mad cow disease, too, before.
Yeah, didn't he have, like, yeah, he's got mad cow disease.
Yeah, yeah, it was called HN1, but it was actually the mad cow, whatever. Yeah, like,
he's got a lot of weird stuff. Hand and foot and mouth. Uh-oh.
Yeah, hand, foot, mouth, whatever, same thing. It was the HN1, whatever the hell it was, right? Everyone's a pandemic expert now. But so only the Mets. So the Mets actually had a sale fall through for $2.6 billion. And only in bizarro Met world, if you remember, They wanted the money now, but they didn't want to hand over control for 5 years of the team.
I don't even know what to say.
They said, yeah, we'll sell it to you, but we run the team for another 5 years, but you pay us now for it.
I'll wait.
So, and the guy was even somewhat willing to do it. Like, the guy already owned, like, 7% or 9% of the team. So it seemed, like, natural. He's like, you know what? There was no reason. Like, Steve Cohen, he's like, I was already minority owner. I don't know how things imploded. Like, there wasn't, like, he came from the outside. And, you know, he wanted to be on the board to make decisions. Which, obviously, the guy just gave you $2.5 billion. Like, he should. Because he said, you can't just run the team into the ground over the next 5 years and me don't have a vote. Right? So... only the Wilpons, right?
This is
so
amazing.
I saw Darren Rovell tweet, the new value of the sale of the Mets, 1.6. They lost $1 billion in the sale so far.
Brutal.
Good job, guys.
Brutal.
So
brutal.
It's funny because when it broke and the story came out on Twitter about, oh, and I saw the story about Alex Rodriguez and J-Lo, right away somebody sent me a tweet and said, Yankee fans won't like this. And I responded, I said, Met fans won't like this.
Exactly.
Like, nobody's going to like this. But
well played.
You know, if you think about it, though, I was thinking, number one, they don't have the money. Like, you know, they don't really have billions of dollars. Like, J-Lo's loaded. A-Rod's got some money. But they're not rich. There's differences.
They're going to need another person as part of their gang.
But then, look, Derek Jeter got a team. The Marlins were a hell of a lot cheaper. And, you know, you see Jeter?
Did he?
Jeter, yeah. Jeter's going to, he's giving up his salary, Jeter.
Yeah.
You know how much his salary is? $5 million. He makes more than any player on his team.
Go down to their P.O. box and get chased by Marlin men?
Yeah, and the Virgin Islands.
Exactly.
what's the Marlins, like, honestly, who's the highest paid player on the Marlins? They're not making that much. You know what I'm saying?
Peanuts.
Their opening day payroll was $76 million. Miami Marlins salaries. All right, there's a few dudes. Yeah, like they, you know, like Corey Dickerson's been in the league a while.
I like Dickerson.
He makes $8 million. Jonathan Villar makes $8 million. Those are the highest paid players on the Marlins. $8 million.
Good value.
I don't know if that gets you an inning with Bryce Harper. So I'm just saying, look at, like, Jeter's making $5 million for a team that doesn't make any money, bro. And he's always crying about no money. You're making $5 million.
Yeah, so you'd be like,
talk about excessive CEO payment.
Yeah, you'd be the third highest paid player on the team. Like,
the guy that runs the Yankees deserves $5 million. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not even $3 million. You know what I mean? Like, what do you want? $5 million to run the Marlins, bro? Think about that. He made $5 million last year.
What would you do?
Jeter's a legend in New York.
Yes.
And, you know, it's sacrilegious to say anything about him, but his reputation is taking a hit over the years. You see, he's like a hedge fund guy. He doesn't care about the Marlins. He's going in there. He paid himself $5 million a year for a team. He's got a $76 million payroll. He gets luxury revenue sharing from the other owners.
Good point.
Like, it's a scam. Remember, he inherited the debt as part of the team. And then he said, no, I don't really even know. That's in Miami, and our office is not even here. Like, he set up an office basically in the Cayman Islands, essentially, and like the Virgin Islands and stuff.
Offshore. To run away.
Like, the Florida Marlins head office. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Marlins man found it.
Yeah, that's
right. Florida Marlins head office is a P.O. box.
Amazing.
It's a P.O. box.
I know, it's true.
Like, Derek Jeter is running, like, this is what he's running, a P.O. box. Like, if anyone, if Loria did this or anyone else did this, they'd be all over.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Jeter just gets to deal. Like, I'm amazed. No one even brought this up. They were like, dude, you were paying yourself $5 million a year to run the Marlins in your first year?
That's craziness.
A team that was losing money?
Yeah, that's excessive.
It is.
And really excessive.
And, you know, Brady buys his place. Screw them both. You know, I'm just sick of it all. The Marlins will probably want a government bailout after.
I still like their wins total at the start of the year before COVID-19, but that's a story for another day. We were both bullish on the Marlins winning a few games.
Yes, sir. I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. Tommy Z says, how do you think Yankee fans... Tommy's a Yankee fan. How do you think Long Island, how do you think Yankee fans treat A-Rod if he buys the Mets?
I hope they don't treat him well. I got to tell you, since that, like,
change. Whatever,
I'm not really down. Like, here's the thing.
Is A-Rod really a Yankee? No.
No, I don't even Ranger to me. Like, you know, here's the thing. When I watched the whole thing with A-Rod, you know, the players call him out, call him a phony and the whole cake thing, that just intensified my, like, how phony the whole situation was. Like, you're not even going to have an own piece of birthday cake on your birthday cake in the setup when J-Lo comes in. Like, come on, Gabe.
One of the biggest phonies ever.
Yeah, it was actually one of the funniest things ever. I wish sports fans could buy teams, but they don't got enough money.
I think A-Rod, though, would want to win.
Oh, I agree with you there.
I'll say that.
Well, New York, damn right.
Yeah, like you know what I mean? Like Derek Jeter.
Jeter Marlins.
Jeter got the Marlins to sit in the luxury box and make money. Jeter, like, is fleecing the system, knew the system, and manipulated it. But the thing is, everybody manipulates the system in Florida. Lorian Sampson did. This is just, you know, that's that Marlin franchise. That's what it is. It's like a hedge fund for, like, rich guys to come in and fleece the state of Florida and the city of Miami. Over, but Alex Rodriguez is, like, it sounds crazy to say he's more competitive than Jeter, but A-Rod, like, would want to win. Like, A-Rod's so vain. He then, you know what, it's almost a competition with Jeter in the same division. Like, A-Rod and J-Lo, they would sign players. I don't think they would turn the Mets into a laughing stock. Like, I think they would spend money. A-Rod knows baseball too. Like, he was a great player. He is smart and stuff. I mean, he says dumb things on TV. Like, remember when he said it's better to have a one-run lead than a two-run lead?
Really?
And they're like, why? They're like, it's in a situation. And everyone was like, no, it isn't, bro. Like, no, you're better having a two-run lead. Like, you know, what are you talking about? Like,
yeah. No, but you're absolutely right. And in New York City, too, they're there all the time. It's one of those things that everything they touch, they want it to be the best. And I agree with that. And you bring up a great point with Jeter, right? In that Florida situation, it's been this way for a long time. It's the Marlins situation. It is a scam. It is a fleece job. And it's ridiculous. But with those two and the limelight there, you think they want to come last in that division? I'm not really down with, you know, hey, I prefer other ownership, Gabe. But if push came to shove, I agree with you. I think they'll try to. They wouldn't make the team tank. I think they'd work hard at it.
All right. So Woo Deezy. Real good question here. You're down to your last $100. You love two games on the schedule. Do you play a parlay for $100? You play them individually for $50. And trust me, I've spent many nights sitting in front of a computer pondering that. What do I do? Do I parlay this? Or do I do this or that? My own personal opinion is, if you love the both games and you're down to your last $100,
parlay.
I knew you were going to go parlay. I'm saying individual games.
Okay, I'm going to go parlay because it's down to your last money anyway. And if it's 2.6 parlay, then we got some real, if you hit it, you got some more money in your account to deal with, and we can really build that fund. And we've done that a lot, taking very little
stress. Then your account's done.
I know, but you're still going to lose the juice on the other, but you're right.
You're still alive.
Money. Yes, you are alive. You're on life support. I'm bringing out the paddles, but you're still alive. Yeah, that's right. You're still alive. Barely, I like the parlay. But
all right, so me and Cam disagree on this one. I'm going now. I'm not going to lie though. When you are down to your
situation.
Last 100 or 200, you do start play a couple of parlays on the way out, right? Like there is that. All right, you'll start playing two game parlays. That's but the thing is, if you're down to your last $100, means you were probably pretty cold.
Yeah.
And you're not hot to begin with, right? Because you're down to your last $100. So
yeah, that's true.
I've done them both before, Cam. Actually. And I found I'd rather live to fight another day. That's my mentality. Like, I've done it a few times where it's like, yeah, screw it. I'll play the parlay. And if it hits, it's great. But I remember it's a great question because I remember right before the shutdown, I had this problem. I remember I stood in front of the kiosk at FanDuel deciding. It was like late night, like Long Beach and Pacific games.
Yeah.
And I was like, do I parlay Long Beach with Washington or do I not? And then I ended up parlaying it, and I went 1-1 and lost. I was upset, and then I learned my lesson, and a couple of nights later, in another account, I was down to the last, like, $8,800. Same thing. Like, this question's perfect, and I remember I played basically like this. I think I played two $75 bets. I got back, like, one-third. I was mad that I, like you said, I lost the juice. I'm like, man, I keep going backwards here. I was down to the juice, but then I popped it. Boom, and I got it back up. So my mentality is, Cam, I'd rather live to fight another day.
No, I understand. And one quick thing before we get off the topic, I think, and I've seen it happen before with Visine Vince and me and stuff, if you have the patience, betting dogs with your last little bit of money instead of a big, big favorite is also a way to save your account. But you're very, very timid, Gabe. It's what you said, like, you're down to that money. You're probably running cold, so you're not seeing things properly. But I built more accounts by betting dogs late and then starting it up again.
All right. Muhammad Jama steps up. And what up, Muhammad? Is Jordan Love going to be taken in the first round? You and I were talking about him in a 19 and a half.
First
he
round,
says he loves the over prop.
Man. You don't think the Patriots will take him there if he's sitting around there 20? What are they? 20-something? 26? Yes, he will be gone in the first round. There's teams that will that would go, we can't leave this guy to the second round, right?
All right, listen, Cam, we got a couple of minutes before before Gil Manzano steps up and then we talk some Charger football. What are you looking at? What are you looking at for your best bets right now? We'll lock them in once again tomorrow, but tomorrow, the draft, and I've noticed, guys, because of the virtualness of the draft, they're going to be taking it down as the draft starts. I've seen the cutoff time 6:45 at some places. So listen, we're going to be on at 6. Yeah. We're going to come out of the gate tomorrow. Boom, boom, boom. Rapid fire with our best bets. But as the countdown is on right now, what are you looking at? You already have quite a bit locked in. What do you got?
I got Lamb at plus 145. That's locked in. I have Wirfs under, exactly what you're doing with that bet. It's locked in. Simmons, I bet, gave the 6.5 over. That's going to be interesting because a lot of people have him going to the Giants at 4. That's going to be an interesting bet. We have over with Jalen Hurts. I forget what number we had. Was it 60? I forget the number we have with Hurts.
62.5.
Yeah, 62.5 over. And then I have a couple parlays. Komet and McKinney parlayed. I'm surprised they actually let it. They don't let you do 3-player parlay props, but 2, both of them. Komet, the first tight end, with McKinney, first safety, even money.
Interesting. I like that. All right, you know what I'm going to lock in? It's a, you know what? I'm known for my long field goal props. So why not make one of my best NFL draft props? Rodrigo, Hot Rod Blankenship, to be the first kicker taken in a National Football League draft. And in fact, I think he'll probably be the only kicker taken. You know what? Tyler Bass might get selected in like the 7th round, the last round type of deal. A couple of these guys might get drafted late, but it'll probably be free agents. But a couple of them might actually. But Blankenship will get drafted. I don't think he'll be a free agent. Somebody will pluck him in the 5th round, the 6th round. Somebody will pluck him. They're not going to take him in the 3rd round or 4th round. 5th to 7th round for Rodrigo Blankenship is minus 163. I think he will be the first kicker taken. I'm going to play under 5.5 wide receivers taken in the 1st round. I like this one. And the number's plummeting, guys. It was plus 180. Now it's plus 150. It wouldn't surprise me if it was plus 125. I just don't see where the 6th wide receiver is going to come from. We talk about it. CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Justin Jefferson. That's 4. Okay, Denzel Mims seems to be in a lot of mock drafts right now at 5.
Who's
that 6? T. Higgins? T. Higgins' prop is 34.5. The odds makers are telling you they don't think he's going to be taken in the 1st round. The prop is 34.5. It's not 28.5. It's not 29.5. It's not 30.5. It's not 31.5. So saying 34.5. I'm going to go under. The Jalen Hurts prop I like a lot. I'm locked in on this one. Jalen Hurts over 62.5. Which basically means I don't think Jalen Hurts is going in the first 2 rounds.
No, I don't. I already made a bet of him to be drafted in the 3rd or 4th round at both plus money.
Yes.
So why not?
Yeah, and I don't, you know, I really don't see it. I think Jalen Hurts is a good football player. I think Jalen Hurts is going to help a football team. But I just don't see him getting drafted in the first 2 rounds. There's too many good players available out there. And you're not going to need to take this guy that high. Another one, Cam. I'm going to go, and it's funny because I didn't really like him at Washington all that much, but it's irrelevant. I know he makes big-time NFL throws, and I know that an NFL general manager is going to draft the kid. And I'm going to go Jacob Eason under the 47.5 as well.
Yeah, I hope it works out. I like him under. But remember the last quarterback taken, Jake Locker, one of the biggest busts ever from the University of Washington.
Different style of quarterback.
True. But yeah, I thought he was going to be better, didn't you? I did, but anyway.
Yeah, he was a great college. Yeah. You know what? He regressed at college, though. He was really good, and then he sort of got worse, and he came into the NFL. It's a long list. The highway is littered, Ken. The road to hell was paved with good intentions when you're talking about the National Football League draft. All right, me and Ken will have our best bets tomorrow, leading you into the draft right here on SB Nation Radio. We got Gil Manzano going to talk.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Get on the grid, Sports Grid, and of course the loudest station in the nation, SB Nation Radio, as we continue to break it down. The countdown to the National Football League draft continues. We promise we talk some Charger football, some LA Charger football, unlike so many that still make the mistake and call them the San Diego Chargers, although their new uniforms look a lot like the San Diego Charger uniforms. Gil Manzano steps up in it, Orange County Register. Gil, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I've been up all day looking at those uniforms. The Chargers had a 6:45 Pacific unveiling of the uniforms. So I'm up and ready for this interview to talk more Chargers draft.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm excited actually for the National Football League draft, as everybody is. And you know, so much stuff around this Chargers, actually, never a dull day really. So Phillip Rivers is gone. I mean, the mainstay, the staple, the face of the franchise, no longer there. Melvin Gordon, no longer there. Moving into a new stadium right now. And then, of course, all this happens. So there's seemingly always drama around this football team. They keep on telling people, like, I see the World Series of Poker, Gilbert, was just recently canceled or postponed. And I think we're playing real poker now because the Chargers are saying, Tyrod Taylor's our quarterback. Tyrod Taylor's our guy. We're happy with Tyrod Taylor. And now the Giants are thrown out there. Oh, we like Justin Herbert, right? And I think, you know what I mean? I think everybody can see that's some Snoop Dogg type of smoke that they're throwing out there. But we have a game of poker going on, don't we, Gil?
Yeah, I like that Snoop Dogg reference there from the early 90s there and Dr. Dre. But you're right. It is kind of a bit of a smokescreen kind of game, especially between the Miami Dolphins and the Chargers, and like you mentioned, the Giants are trying to get in there. But I think the Giants are just trying to, you know, lure a trade from the Chargers, especially if the Dolphins kind of move up to number three and trade with the Lions. And if you're Gettleman there with the general manager of the Giants, he's like, hey, if you want to ensure you get a quarterback, a guy to replace Phillip Rivers, you got to trade up. Give me something here. So to kind of ensure that nobody like maybe a team like the Raiders or the Jaguars moves up and takes the quarterback you want. So a little bit of poker, bluffing going on. But the good thing is we're 2 days away to finally figure out what the Chargers are going to do. I think we're all leaning a quarterback. So if you're Tom Telesco, the GM, you got to decide, do you wait at number six to get your guy? But history has kind of shown over the years, when it comes to the draft and you need a quarterback, you got to trade up. So it wouldn't surprise me if the next couple of days the Chargers trade up to either number three or number four to ensure they get either Justin Herbert or Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, I got to believe that somebody's going to try. I think people are liking Tua more than they let on. I've always found it interesting, though, from a Chargers perspective. You know, Phillip Rivers held them back last year. Let's just be real. He turned the ball over a million times. There was no arm strength. They were in football games anyways. And this is a football team. It's a competitive team, in my opinion. I don't know why they never really looked at bringing Jameis Winston in. As opposed, like, you know what I mean? And you have a big draft pick, you could get another real impact football player with the sixth pick in the draft and bring in Jameis Winston, who is like Phillip Rivers. You know, he throws touchdowns, but without the, you know, the, yeah, he throws interceptions, but he also throws touchdowns. Rivers is only throwing interceptions. Did that ever cross your mind? Did it ever come up have the Chargers ever considered it, or they just figured, no, Tyrod Taylor's good enough?
You know, I don't think they have. I think with Cam Newton, they probably did. But when it comes to Jameis Winston, which is, you know, kind of strange because he's younger, he's durable. Cam Newton hasn't proven that the last couple of years. But when it comes to Jameis Winston, the interceptions, it's a problem. I think when you throw 30 interceptions in a season, which that sounds like a lot just saying it, 30 interceptions in a season, Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the Chargers, he really values ball security. Like, I know last year he couldn't say too much because Philip Rivers, you can't criticize the face of the franchise, but you could tell it was just bothering him, frustrated with all the turnovers, especially those late game turnovers that are national primetime TV. The game in Mexico City comes to mind where Rivers had four interceptions, or the one on Thursday Night Football in Oakland. Those were winnable games there for the Chargers. And when you're throwing prayers there, when you got the game on the line, I'm sure that really bothered Anthony and Lynn. And to kind of bring in Jameis Winston, who is younger and has better arm strength, I'm sure for him it's a little scary. But the thing about that is he already has a guy in Tyrod Taylor, the guy who kind of fits a guy he wants, mobile.
Who doesn't turn accurate. The ball over much. That's the one thing with Tyrod.
Yeah, that's
ball security is pretty good for him.
But he plays it too safe. But when it comes to Anthony Lynn, he likes to run the ball, protect the ball, move the chains, kill the clock. So I think when it comes to Jameis, I feel like Anthony Lynn is more of a cautious coach. That's why I feel like maybe Cam Newton is a better fit for him. But yeah, you're right. They have a roster that's kind of ready to win now. Why not just, you know, go for a free agent like Cam Newton or Jameis Winston and use that number six pick to kind of build around your roster, perhaps a left tackle or even a linebacker like Isaiah Simmons would be very intriguing. But I feel like the Chargers want to finally build for the future and get a quarterback. I think this is probably the real quarterback search since, you know, Philip Rivers in 2004 or even Drew Brees. So I think at the end of the day, they're going to look back and say, hey, we got to get that quarterback, especially on a rookie deal. When you got a quarterback on a rookie deal, you can make a lot of moves in the future.
Well, you know, as we're in conversation with Gil Manzano of the Orange County Register, and one thing you know the Los Angeles market well, you know, the Chargers' popularity is obviously not there right now, but it could be, right, with the right star player. And you saw the Rams, there was a resistance to the Rams, and they came back, and as they got good, people jumped on the bandwagon. Seems like really the Lakers and the Dodgers, and I used to live in L.A., that'll have that currency that, you know what I mean, people are going to support no matter what, and then it sort of becomes a bandwagon whether you win thing or not. And I'm just looking at the Chargers, and you sort of need a face of the franchise, don't they, right? You're moving into this new stadium. You're competing with the Rams. If you had a Tua, I find it interesting. I think the Chargers have done a nice job. I don't know who they like more. Everybody sort of thinks Herbert because he's West Coast, but that's just kind of primitive, low-hanging fruit. And something that you just said that, you know, sticks out to me, Anthony Lynn, as you stated, being a running back coach and is, you know, his nature is, he doesn't like turning the football over. Herbert does. Tua doesn't. Tua is incredibly smart, high football IQ. What are you hearing? Who do they actually like better, Tua or Herbert?
You know, that's kind of the big money question to kind of figure out. You know, if I had a guess, I feel like they're probably split right now between, you know, the front office, the owner, Dean Spanos, and maybe Anthony Lynn, who's really big on Tyrod Taylor. I think it could be, you know, a decision between Tua, Herbert, and Tyrod and help out Tyrod. But I think by now they should figure out who they want. Or maybe it's a kind of wait-and-see approach. Who does Miami take? And maybe we're okay taking the second guy. But I think you're right. I think Tua checks most of the boxes. I know you mentioned Herbert's a West Coast guy, but Tua is from Hawaii. You know, I know the Pacific Ocean right there. And I think he wanted to go to USC before he went to Alabama. And the star power, that's the thing that they really want. Going into a new stadium, SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, you got to sell a lot of tickets. And I feel like Tua is the star power. Thing about Tua is the medical concerns. You don't know he's going to be healthy for the next 5 to 10 years, and that's probably a big concern for the Chargers right now. But if he didn't have the medical concerns, I think Tua will probably be their clear number one. But I think Justin Herbert is also an intriguing prospect because he has so many tools. It's just he's not as polished. He might not be ready to go, and it's more a risk down the line when it comes to football. But you're talking about Tua without the injuries. That guy's ready to go. But it depends on the Dolphins. The Dolphins want to get Tua, then the Chargers are probably going to miss out there.
It's sort of like, it's interesting that Nick Saban brought up that he sees the correlation to teams passing on Tua in the same way that he passed on Drew Brees. due to the health concerns at the time. And it sort of comes full circle once again that here we are with Miami in that situation. I think Tua is that good. I think the upside is so high, it's worth the gamble. Every one of these kids is a gamble, Gil, as you know, right? They're all gambles. To me, the upside, I think Tua can be better than Joe Burrow down the road. I think Tua is that star, and he has that star power about him. He has an aura about him that you could put on billboards in Los Angeles and say, hey, buy Charger season tickets. I think more so than Herbert. Now, you don't draft players to sell tickets. Some teams do, and it usually ends poorly for them when you do that. You know, listen to the fans. You end up sitting next to the fans, the saying goes, they say. But to me, man, Tua is just that good. Herbert can make NFL throws. I know he's a nice prospect, but I think Tua is special, Gilbert, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. When you watch him play, he's already at the point where he can make accurate throws. He can read defenses. He could play fast without making mistakes. When it comes to calling a quarterback a point guard, that's who he is. And when you look at the Chargers roster with Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler and Mike Williams and Hunter Henry, those guys need a guy who could operate and be a leader. And if you want to win now, I think Tua is the guy who's ready to do that. And then also I keep looking at more things of why the Chargers might take Tua. Tua's kind of a West Coast kind of offense guy. They kept Shane Steichen as an offensive coordinator. Former coordinator was Ken Whisenhunt. Ken Whisenhunt is kind of, he's training Tua Tagovailoa in Nashville right now. So he knows the system, especially in a weird offseason where you probably won't even get to see your coach until maybe August. Who knows, September. Tua kind of already knows that playbook from working with Ken Whisenhunt. So if you want a guy to win now, you want to sell tickets at the same time and have a big marquee attraction, I think Tua is a guy. It's just the big issue for the Chargers to figure out. Are you thinking about 2020 or you got to consider 2022 or 2025 and all the many years to come?
I think the one plus side about a guy like Tua is, too, there's the potential for 2020. You know, there's a potential that he's better in 2023 and 2022, et cetera, but there's potential that he can play at an elite level right out of the gate. And, you know, not every rookie does, right? But I think a lot matters with the talent that they have around them. And, you know, we've almost seen the theme in the NFL recently, Gil, in which teams are having success on rookie deals and they're not making a lot of money. And then the teams are able to spend money. Look at, like, the Rams were a good example of that, right? They threw money around everywhere else. The Kansas City Chiefs have had success like this. The Cowboys had success like that with Dak Prescott, able to sign other players because they weren't paying Dak a lot of money. That seems to be a theme right now, actually, in the NFL, that you expect the young guy to contribute right away.
Yeah, and just looking at the salary cap, when you got a quarterback on a rookie deal, it allows you to be flexible with other contracts that are coming up. For the Chargers, they got to pay Joey Bosa eventually. That could be a looming holdout coming up, you know, this summer if we are going to a regular training camp. Joey Bosa is due to be a free agent in 2021, so you got to pay that guy. You know, he's going to command a lot of money. Star wide receiver Keenan Allen has 1 year left on his deal. Pass rusher Melvin Ingram. Hunter Henry signed for the franchise tag. Also, he's going to be a free agent if they don't get an extension done this summer. So you got to pay a lot of guys. But if you don't have to worry about the quarterback position, he's on a rookie deal for the next 4 to 5 years. You could pay all these guys and, you know, and have a run at it for the next 4 to 5 years, especially for the Chargers who need to make a push in LA and get that following, the marketing. If you're winning a lot in a new stadium and you have two on a rookie deal, that could work out in the long run.
Yeah, and they really have to. And, you know, they're in a unique situation like that. It's not like a normal franchise. It's like, listen, we have our season ticket holders anyways. You're trying to impress new fans. You're trying to bring in new fans. You're trying to get people to buy tickets. There's so much competition. Well, when I say buy tickets, actually, I don't know about that, right? I don't think anyone's going to be buying tickets for any time soon. I think California's closed more so than some other places are. So as far as live fans, that's another story. And that's crazy, too. You got the Raiders going into that new stadium right now. Just what a crazy world we're in. So let me ask you. Besides, we all focus in on the quarterback situation, what the Chargers are going to do. What are the Chargers' bigger needs and other plans in this draft? Because they have more than just the first pick in the draft.
Yeah, eventually you got to address the left tackle position. It's funny they say the Chargers have a very good roster, but they have openings at quarterback and left tackle, probably the two biggest positions on a roster. So you got to eventually fill that need. But if you get to a left tackle is not as you know critical because he's a left-handed quarterback. You already got Brian Bulaga and Trey Turner on the right side, but eventually you got to address
that's
that.
That's an interesting situation, isn't it? I've heard some people talk about that, that as stupid as it is, it's a turnoff to some coaches, right? They don't want to do everything the other way with Tua being left-handed.
Yeah, it's a very weird scenario, but it seemed like the Chargers kind of planned ahead for it. They didn't really focus on the left tackle in free agency. They haven't signed a veteran left tackle. And they really load up on the right side. Trey Turner is a five-time Pro Bowler right guard. Brian Bulaga is one of the best of the last 10 years. So at least they're prepared for a left-handed quarterback there. But
everything you're saying, Gil, man, it sounds like, you know what I mean? Like they're leaning more with Tua more than Herbert right now. That's a great point that you just bring up. Because everything's from the different side now. If you're going to do it, you almost start over. And they also have the 37th pick in the draft as well.
Yeah, so eventually, maybe left tackle is not a big priority if you get Tua. I think they need a linebacker. They were last in takeaways a year ago, so you need a playmaker in the middle. And maybe even a third wide. I know Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are very talented wide receivers, but you need that burner kind of speed guy to take the top off the defense. And you could probably find that guy, maybe not in a second round, but a third round. So if they don't go tackle, I could see a linebacker or even a wide receiver in the middle rounds.
You know, they say that NFL drafts are won from the fourth round out. But I've always been a big believer that you don't win Super Bowls in February. You actually do win them in April right now. And this is a deep draft, man, isn't it, Gil? You look like so many good players, wide receivers, offensive linemen. There's some good defensive backs. There's some real talent, good running backs you can pick up later rounds this year. So with 6, 37, and 71, that's three starters right there. I dare eventually even the 112th pick should be a starter as well, the fourth round pick.
Yeah, if you look at years past for the Chargers and Tom Telesco, they usually hit on those middle guys or late round draft picks. I know last year they got a guy in Drew Tranquil did pretty well as a starter for the linebacker positions. Desmond King, I think, was a fifth rounder a couple years before that. I'm sure there's a bunch of guys that forget. Hunter Henry, the second round guy, not in the middle, but they usually get those right. But think about this roster, they don't have too many needs. That's why it wouldn't surprise me if they maybe package some of those picks to move up to number three or number four to get a quarterback, because this roster doesn't have too many holes, especially if you get to a left tackle is not as critical. So why not, you know, use a third round pick to move up?
Man, I've been pushing this hard, Gil, and I've been we're laying it down legally in New Jersey, in the New York, New Jersey area. And I believe that Tua is going to be a top 3.5 pick. I think he's going to go to top three. I don't think that the Chargers and the Dolphins can be patient enough. I think, you know, if they wait, they're going to get burnt and they're going to have to jump up. And I think there's going to be some craziness that'll go down in this draft. But Gil, it was great catching up with you, man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. Hopefully, you know, we have this draft and then God knows the schedule after that, right?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But I know everybody's pushing for football, but let's stay healthy, stay home, and let's see how it goes.
Hey, stay safe, Gil. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
No problem. Appreciate the time.
This is Gil Manzano from the Orange County Register as the L.A. Chargers are on the clock, and so are we right here. Game Time Decision, SB Nation Radio. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, and let's do this thing. Thanks to Gil Manzano for stepping up and in from the Orange County Register and talking some Los Angeles Charger football. We promised some Dallas Cowboy talk, and we will deliver. George Kurtz, Sports Grid's very own, steps up and in. How you doing, George?
Doing well, Gabe. We just had Jerry Jones come on about, what, an hour ago, 2 hours ago, saying he's not worried about signing Dak Prescott or it's not a priority right now. I'm sure that doesn't thrill Prescott's camp there. And then he also came out and said he's not interested in trading the 17th overall pick for a veteran player, specifically Jamal Adams.
You know, the Jamal Adams and the New York Jets, this is a it's a marriage that's obviously not going to end well. And they're just delaying the inevitable. And a lot of people have had Jamal Adams tied to the Cowboys, you know, because he says it doesn't mean it'll happen. The Cowboys are always an unpredictable team at the best of times. It'll be interesting to see now that McCarthy is in the mix and how much influence McCarthy has in the draft room right now.
Yeah, when it comes to Jamal Adams, you think about this. The Cowboys would have trouble trading him for him anyway. Even if all the Jets wanted was the number one. And according to some New York writers, they should get for at least a one and a two, maybe even 2 ones. But let's say Dallas didn't want them. How are they going to fit him under the cap? Dallas is the 21st overall team in the NFL right now as far as cap space, of a little over $10 million. He's going to want more than that. And then you got other players you got to worry about as well. So I don't see how this works out for Dallas in any way as of right now. The cap can always be manipulated. We know that. But I don't think Jamal Adams is coming to Dallas. Not for their first overall pick. I don't see it happening.
Well, you know, one thing with the Dallas Cowboys is they like to spend money on the top. They're top heavy, and then they're thin everywhere else. And this is the problem right now. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys have invested in Amari Cooper. They've invested in Zeke Elliott. And all they're doing is, once again, delaying the inevitable with Dak Prescott. Like, are they going to shock everybody and draft a quarterback? Which... You know, they do need to draft a quarterback, actually, or they do need a real quarterback to come in. Cooper Rush isn't going to get it done as a backup quarterback. And, you know, the fact that they're delaying so long with Dak Prescott leads me to believe that there could be something to this that, you know, is there hesitation with them to, you know, lock in a long-term deal with Dak? Because the franchise tag price just keeps going up the longer they wait.
Well, when it comes to Dak, what we know the problem is, it came out today, his franchise tag is $31.4 million. All right, so that's what his tag is for this season. We know he's going to get paid more than that on an average annual value per year once they sign the long-term deal. The problem seems to be, as Adam Schefter just said again on NFL Live, that the Dak Prescott camp only wants 4 years. The Cowboys want more than 4 years in a deal, and this seems to be their big haggle here. So the Cowboys do seem to want him longer. Dak Prescott wants shorter. He wants to get back out there. Because once again, they want a second bite at the apple with the big TV contracts coming, where maybe Dak can get more than $40 million a year in 4 years. Because you probably can. When you figure how the price for quarterbacks, he probably can. Another thing to consider here for the Cowboys, and this is going to be so many teams, next year's salary cap, depending on how things work out this season, if they don't play with fans in the stands, about a fifth of the NFL's revenue comes from that. The cap may come way down next year. It may shrink because of this. And you have Dak on a franchise ticket. You can't spread that bonus out a couple of years. So if Dallas wants to franchise him this year and next year, that's going to be a problem as well. And you're not the first person to mention that. You know, maybe Dallas doesn't trust him. And maybe if Tua, I specifically say Tua because he has the most questions about him. But if he were to fall to 17, could Dallas take him?
Well, George, I'll tell you right now. There's a better chance that New York City reopens tomorrow than Tua falling to 17.
Some people speculate he's going to have an Aaron Rodgers like four. I don't. Listen, I think he's going 5 or 6, assuming no trades. You know, I think he's either going with the Chargers or Dolphins. I think that's how it works out there. But some people are speculating because of the medicals and the fact that no one could bring him in for a visit and have their own doctors checking him that he could have an Aaron Rodgers like four. I don't believe that, but that's what I've heard from multiple NFL people.
I'll put it this way. I'm betting that he goes in the top three picks of this draft. Listen, there's a smokescreen out there. There's people that are trying to smear him with, oh, he had a bad Wonderlic test. He didn't interview well with the Dolphins and all this crap. But that's all it is. Teams are trying to, you know, they're trying to basically lower the kid's value and hope
they're
that
lying.
He falls. Well, Tannenbaum comes out and says it's irresponsible, right, to take this kid in the top 10. yet, you know, there's a reason why Tannenbaum's not in the league right now, and he's on, you know, he's on TV, right? I mean, and, you know, Michael Lombardi's another guy whose track record isn't exactly great in the real world. So, yeah, there's not a hope in hell. Like, there's not a hope in hell. Well, we'll see, right? I mean, you know, stranger things have happened in the NFL draft. But the thing is, when Aaron Rodgers came out, George, Aaron Rodgers wasn't – he didn't have the pedigree that Tua has right now. Like, I get it. There's been quarterbacks that have fallen in the draft. And in hindsight, it's easier to say, oh, you can't believe he fell to 23 or whatever. But, like, Aaron Rodgers wasn't as hyped as Tua and wasn't as polished and didn't play at Alabama and play in the big games and championships like Tua has.
No, it was good. The point, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just parroting what someone else said. But the point is, I don't think Jerry Jones thinks that Dak, I think he'll say, publicly he'll tell you Dak's franchise quarterback, great, but I think in behind closed doors, as you and I have talked about many times, they see the same thing the rest of us see. Big games, Dak doesn't necessarily show up. He's not someone who can win you a game by himself, not yet. He needs everyone else to be playing well, the defense to be playing well, Elliott to be running well. We haven't seen Dak win that game against a good team where the other team's taking Elliott away. Can he win with just the passing game? We haven't seen that yet. I think that does concern Jerry Jones somewhat. I think that's why he wants him on a longer term under his contract structure. That's why they can lower the cap room. Dallas is going to have some cap problems no matter what they do here. You know, and Jerry Jones, as you and I have discussed about in the past as well, doesn't always like to spend money like everyone thinks he does.
Now, the Dallas Cowboys, when I say a quarterback, I'm thinking, you know, there's another quarterback that played with Tua or Jalen Hurts. See, Jalen Hurts has been connected to the Cowboys. That makes sense. Jalen Hurts isn't quite ready to play as much as Tua is right now. Jalen Hurts can help you in a Taysom Hill type of fashion as well. He's a great athlete if you get him on the field, and it gives you a little bit of leverage moving forward right now with Dak Prescott, because that's what this comes down to, right? I mean, another thing is if Dak Prescott gets hurt, then the Cowboys are screwed. Right. And, you know, they might be screwed if he doesn't get hurt anyways. We don't know. Maybe he's already reached his upside as it is. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Cowboys roll the dice on a quarterback in the third or fourth round this year.
Oh, and I think they should. I do. I support that Green Bay philosophy where you draft a quarterback most years, try and develop one. If it works out, great. You have someone, at the very least, you have someone you can trade because you developed them. If it doesn't work out, well, hey, it was a third, fourth round pick. It's not the end of the world here. So with Jerry Jones, doesn't do that. You look at his history, and Jerry Jones is still running this draft. They never take a quarterback in the first round. They haven't done that since Walsh. And that was a supplemental first-round pick. So they really haven't done that since Troy Aikman. They just don't do that. It's not what he believes in for whatever reason. I think they're going to take go defense first round. I think they sort of have to. They lost Byron Jones, right? He went 5 years, $82.5 million to Miami. You lost Quinn, maybe their best pass rusher last year, $70 million, 5 years with Chicago. You lost Jeff Heath, who's a nobody, but still, you lost your starting safety. You lost Malik Collins, your starting defensive tackle. I got to think if Chaseon is there, a pass rusher, maybe the second overall pass rusher, they're going to look at him. I think if Henderson is there, they take him and run. That's it. If those two are gone, then I think it's Diggs, Terrell, McKinney, maybe not necessarily in that order. Winfield could be there as well if they want someone who's like Byron Jones, who can play a little safety, a little corner. But Dallas needs secondary help. We all know this. I think that's where they're leaning, assuming Chaseon is gone.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, they do have a lot of needs, and you just rattle them all off. And that's the thing. The Cowboys, they're always, it's about, ooh, what about Dak, and what about Amari Cooper, and what about Zeke? But the actual foundation of the football team has a lot of holes in it right now and leaks. You know, linebacker position could get better. You know, Sean Lee was always hurt, and now it seems like his replacement falls into the same vein right now. And that was the knock on Vannon Esch coming out of Boise State as well, that he might have been a little undersized. He was going to get banged up. The secondary is definitely going to be a problem as well that definitely needs to be addressed. At 17, you know, all you can really do is do best. You're going to be able to pick one of these guys, right? Somebody's going to be there. Yet at 17, the Cowboys really don't control their own destiny.
No, they don't control their own destiny, but outside of Chaseon, I think he'll be gone. I think he'll, once again, someone will select him or someone will trade up to select him, second overall pass rusher. But one of Diggs, Terrell is the high, he's the guy who everyone is really moving up draft boards right now, right? Terrell and McKinney, one of them is going to be there. And I think that would solve Dallas's problem. I think Dallas might be one of these teams that there could be a couple of guys they want there and would want to trade down. But what we're hearing right now is not too many teams want to trade up, at least not the 17. They want to trade further up than 17. So Dallas probably, to trade down, would need a player to fall that someone else wants, maybe a wide receiver that someone else is going for there. But I think Jerry would like to trade down not far, 6-7 picks, still get one of those cornerbacks we just talked about, and an extra draft pick somewhere along the line.
At 17, it's a great draft. And anybody that watches college football, you look at this draft, George, the wide receiver, the positions are stacked. There's some good DBs at the top end here. As you mentioned, Henderson's a very good football player. Shaisaud's really interesting. Kid out of LSU, hasn't really played that much football in his lifetime, even though he's a national champion right now. He didn't play a lot of football. He didn't really play high school football. He showed up at a camp, and he ended up with a scholarship, and the rest is history, which you got to like a kid like that, George, because it tells you that there's a ton of upside with him, right? This kid, you know, there's a lot of players in college. Some of them have peaked already, right? Like, they played on a good team. They were surrounded by really good players. And, you know, maybe that's the level that they're going to reach. A kid like Shaisaud is a kid that there's still so much untapped potential with him, you know, now that he can get some NFL and some pro coaching under his belt.
Yeah, I think because of Shaisaud and Henderson, if either one is there, Dallas is done. They're taking him. They're moving on. You know, I think they'd be very happy with either player there. I think they like both, and both fit a need, right? Shaisaud replaces Quinn, and Henderson obviously replaces Byron Jones. I don't think Dallas will go wide receiver first round, although you can make an argument they need someone to replace Randall Cobb, who had a very nice season for the Cowboys last year. You know, Cobb went to Houston. I think that was Bill O'Brien's way of trying to placate the DeAndre Hopkins people, the Hopkins complaints here. But they can use a slot receiver. But I don't think it's going to come from round one. You got Cooper. You just signed him for a gazillion dollars. And you got Michael Gallup, who's a very good receiver in his own end, and he's the other outside guy. But I think they will fill that slot. I think in round two would be the earliest. Round three would be the latest for me. I think they will grab a receiver in round two or round three.
You know, I think they need another wide receiver for depth. Thing is, this wide receiver class is so deep. You can get one in the fourth round. You can probably even find one in the fifth round if you know what you're doing. Like I said, there's probably about 18 guys that can help a National Football League team at wide receiver, if not more, you know, because there's always a couple of steals and sleepers in there, maybe 18 to 23 guys that could really help. You know, I'm looking at the Dallas Cowboys, as you mentioned. Secondary is an issue. Linebacker is an issue. They got to get a pass rush going again. And I'm not kidding about the backup quarterback stuff. It's not good enough. Cooper Rush, Clayton Thorson, it's like they go out of their way to have bad backup quarterbacks. Like, it's one thing not to invest in a backup quarterback, but this has always been their MO, right? This has always been, they've never, you know, I guess going back to the John Kitna days when they brought Kitna in finally, and Kitna was somewhat capable, but there's been a long history of just sort of stiff Dallas Cowboy backup quarterbacks.
You are absolutely right. It's not been a Jerry Jones belief through most of his ownership. There was a time where he did have one, but for the most part, he doesn't believe in it.
Like, Kellen Moore was never any good, and he was a backup to Tony Romo. You know what I mean?
Romo never really had a good backup, not late in his career. In the early part, I think that's where Kitna was there, and Kitna was solid. But I think Jerry Jones pretty much believes if Dak goes down, we're done. It doesn't matter. I can't put anybody in there. And I'm not saying that's right. I don't believe in that personally. And I think this year might be the year more than any other where you need a good backup quarterback because of the virus. What happens if Dak gets the virus? I mean, he's out for 2 weeks, right? They're not going to shut down the NFL because your
quarterback. This guy's hosting parties with 30 people.
Right. He's not been the brightest person, right? I mean, he's having these practices with so let's say your quarterback gets it. Don't you need to make sure you have a decent backup? He'll be out 2 to 4 weeks. He'll be at least win you half those games.
But this is the Cowboys' problem. The Cowboys are almost like they're like a hotel in Vegas with a great fountain outside and stuff. But then when you sit on the fountain, you fall through it because you're like, oh, this isn't, it's just kind of plaster. And like, they're all show. And like, you look at the depth chart of the Dallas Cowboys and do they have a good backup at any position? Like everything, it's like, well, without him, they're screwed. You know, without Dak Prescott, they're screwed. How good's Tony Pollard? He's all right.
Pollard's good. That's the guy I was thinking of. When you're going on, like, the one thing they could probably survive is Zeke Elliott. Because Pollard, he's not Zeke,
Their line isn't as good as it's been in past years, right?
They got screwed when Frederick retired, even though they knew it was coming, but that hurts. That hurts a lot.
No, and it's like another problem. Like I said, like everything is sort of, you know, the appearance of the Cowboys is flashy, but when you actually look under the hood, it's like, man, you guys got a lot of problems. And you're very thin. Like the offensive line is thin and it's not as good as the reputation is from past years. The wide receiver's little thin. You got a really good 1-2 punch here with Cooper and Gallup, but it's a little thin. You know, what's the tight end situation?
Well, Jason Witten's gone, right? The Raiders took three players from the Cowboys, Heath, Collins, and Witten. Granted, they were all Heath got 2 years, Collins and Witten got one. Witten is probably addition by subtraction, because although he was still a decent blocker, he can't get down the field anymore. Blake Jarwin will be a solid pass catcher. In the run game, how good a blocker he is, there could be a problem there. And you combine that with Frederick being out as well, as you're mentioning, and I think the line has always been a little, you know, overinflated anyway, but how good they are. They've been good. I don't know if they've ever been really great. But they might have some problems in the blocking game as well. And if Jarwin were to go down, there's no one behind him.
I'll tell you what, this sounds like a franchise going in the wrong direction to me. I think you've kind of peaked with Dak. Cooper's good, but he's not great. I'm not a big Zeke fan. He's kind of, you know, they're underachievers, the Cowboys. It'll be interesting to see what a new coach brings, like if, you know, he can light a fire under this. But, you know, we're in such a unique situation right now without any fans. I don't even know where they're going to be playing in any of this stuff. But I'll tell you what, I'll put it this way. Under most circumstances and normal circumstances, my money's on the Philadelphia Eagles to win the division this upcoming year. The way that this division is looking, and we'll see if the Giants can get on track with Joe Judge. George Kurtz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.